Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for Monday, the 9th of September, 2024. I'm joined by Josh and Stelios.
Hello. Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about how, if you're a member of our audience, you'll probably be arrested by the British police, that you're probably going to be eating a Haitian barbecue from your own pets very soon, and how the Irish are becoming illegal in Ireland.
What a horrifying list of things.
Happy Monday to everyone. Yeah. Hope you had a good weekend. Because it's nothing but good news on the horizon. But anyway, in the meantime, we have a couple of announcements. Tomorrow we're going to be doing a roundtable discussing the Churchill question. What is Churchill's place on the modern right? Is he the progenitor of wokeness? Should he have actually sided with the wrong, with the evil side in World War II? Lots to discuss there, and we're going to have a nice big conversation about it. And also, send in your video comments and questions and whatnot for the 1,000th episode of the podcast, because that will be on Friday. We're going to have an extra long one just to celebration, because, I mean, 1,000 podcasts in, Christ. Feels like only yesterday that started the thing. But if you're gold tier, send us in any comments and questions and whatnot. And without further ado, let's carry on.
Okay, so I've got some rather concerning news, and that is that someone in the Lotus Eaters audience was visited by anti-terror police for posts that they made online, which were also not criminal. So here we have a post from Ava, who I happen to actually know, because she asked me late last year to send a happy birthday message to her mum, because they're big fans of the show, and I thought it was really wholesome. Yeah. She explained how her and her mother watched the show together, and I was just like, well, that's really quite endearing. I can't say no to that. And so I'm aware of who she is. And I saw her post this message. Just been visited by counter-terrorism police who are probably reading this. Refuse to tell me what I've said. Refuse to tell me where I said it. Refuse to tell me how it flagged. And they took my 60-year-old father's decorative samurai sword and questioned the Roman helmet, which they mistakenly thought was an Anglo-Saxon helmet, which is interesting. We'll be talking about that in a minute. But I asked her for a bit more detail about what happened, and this is what she said. When I opened the door to them originally, they told me they were Merseyside police, and I'm quoting here, "It's nothing bad, don't worry," and they needed to speak with me. When I let them in, they told me they were counter-terrorism. They were very polite, to be fair to them, but refused to tell me what I said was inciting violence, and that seems to be the key term that they're using here, and also told me I've committed no crime. So, but incitement to violence is a crime. So if you're inciting violence, that is a crime. But if they're concerned about you inciting violence, but you've committed no crime, it seems to suggest that you're just saying things online that they don't approve of, more than anything. That's what I'm drawing from this. Do you both agree?
If she was actually inciting violence, they would just arrest her. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're going to be shy about arresting someone from the right online for tweeting.
Yeah, well, we've seen lots of examples of that going on, exactly. Haven't we? What do you think, Stelios?
I think it definitely shows that she violated no law. Mm-hmm. This is demonstrable. And the issue is that what she did, allegedly, if that's not just, you know, brute intimidation, which it is, but if it's more than that, what she did will count as a hate crime if legislation passes forward that says that that increases what counts as hate.
Or maybe a non-crime hate incident.
We'll be getting onto that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You've presaged it.
Sorry.
But I think it's also interesting as well that it's anti-terror police. It's not just regular police, which is probably scary enough for people who have no history of criminality, to then have anti-terror police be your sort of first step in having contact with the police.
Are they armed?
I don't know. She hasn't said. So I presume probably not.
Yeah.
So that's worth bearing in mind. But she did send me a picture of this Anglo-Saxon helmet, and that is the most obvious Roman helmet I've ever seen.
It's a classic. In fact, that is a... it's not Titus. It's who's the guy who... Roman Empire at its greatest extent. Came after Hadrian.
Oh, no. Before Hadrian. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
How is it? I can't remember his name. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
You're not thinking of the Roman Empire enough.
Antoninus Pius was the emperor after Hadrian.
No, it's the one before Hadrian.
Oh.
Why can't I remember this? This is really annoying me now.
People are saying Nerva. the chat are saying Trajan.
Trajan, that's right.
Exactly, Trajan, right.
Well done, chat.
Thank you, chat.
Why was that? Honestly, it's Mondays, man. But the bar across the front of the helmet was implemented after Trajan's campaign in Dacia, because the Dacians had this giant god-awful phalx that apparently was carving through helmets.
They're great big curved.
Yeah, and so the bar there was designed to reinforce the helmet, stop them carving through and into your skull. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, definitely not an Anglo-Saxon helmet, just FYI.
From arrows of hate.
Yeah. Enough with that disinformation, Andy. Yeah. Heracles.
Yeah, exactly.
So to carry on, they also questioned me on my religion, asking if I'm Christian due to the religious icons in the room, and asked my parents
religion.
And asked my parents political views. They've also emailed to tell us the property won't be returned of the sword, which was a decorative samurai sword, I think.
Why?
I don't understand. It's also decorative.
Was she married to someone named Bill before?
Good Tarantino reference, yeah. There.
It's not going to be sharp if it's a decorative
sword. I know, yeah, which I'm not entirely sure is something that you're not allowed.
She can just order another one off Amazon.
I know, it's ridiculous.
This is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
It was that particular sword, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They just like the look of it, I think.
Just an ancestor to
a so,
15th century.
Apparently, when they found out, this is her words, my father was a veteran, they started asking if he had a gun license, because most ex-soldiers do, which she says is not quite true, and that sounds about right.
I don't think it's true.
I don't think it is. And apparently, they also never left any names, contact details, receipts for the items taken, or a reference for the visit. And when she called up Merseyside Police, because obviously this was a bit worrying, they said without a reference, they can't do anything.
You're at the mercy of the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
So they just stole your sword.
It sounds like it, yes. And it's worth mentioning as well, I think the reason they're asking about it being Anglo-Saxon is that it was in the news recently that an interest in Anglo-Saxon history apparently is somehow a white supremacist thing, or makes you a dangerous nationalist, or any number of these silly things. It's not true. You can care about history and
not be a Nazi.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I know. But this was only last Monday, I think, that we covered this, wasn't
recent,
it?
Yeah.
So that's in the news. That's probably why the police were asking it when it happened late last week. I think it was on Friday, potentially. So this broke on Monday. So it's that same week that it was in the news. Perhaps that this was something that they were aware of.
Question, because I appreciate the fact that you may not know of all the details of the case, but do you know if they actually show the ID that they are members of the police?
Well, we'll get to that.
Good.
So this led me to think that from the details that she shared, that people were impersonating the police to steal the sword, because I thought, okay.
Seems a lot of work.
Yeah. But, you know,
sure.
It's a way of them potentially getting away with getting hold of a sword, which they don't have to use their real life identity to,
I guess,
to get away with crime. I don't know. But that was why I suggested here, call local police to report it. They'll at least be able to confirm the authenticity, which eventually they did. They said... if you can move that away. Hi, we can confirm that the officers who attended were from Counterterrorism Police, Northwest, as part of inquiries into an investigation they are carrying out. Thanks.
Okay, so they can get the sword back then. If there's no crime committed, the sword isn't sharp, so it's not a weapon.
Well...
Why can't you give it back?
That's the thing, isn't it? That's very interesting that they're confirming it's a legitimate case.
Yeah.
But apparently they're still keeping the property. So... Of course, Harry Miller from Fair Cop was all over this because there are lots of things here that are questionable about what happened here. And here they are posting about it. 19-year-old woman visited by anti-terrorist unit of Merseyside police yesterday. They asked her about her politics, if she is right-wing, and why she had an Anglo-Saxon replica helmet in the house. They refused to say what she was accused of, and they confiscated property, a replica decorative sword hanging on her parents' wall, and advised her, bite your tongue before talking online.
Well, that's a threat. That's
and
a
this threat. Is a very much the process is the punishment sort of thing, isn't it? Because she has committed no crime, nothing has been done wrong in the eyes of the law, but still it warrants a visit from anti-terror police to get her to bite her tongue before talking online.
Just intimidation.
It is, yeah, and I don't understand how the police think that this is a good idea even on their own end, because this just paints them as petty tyrants, doesn't it? It makes them look like thought police, ultimately, which is what they are at this point.
So I just wanted to see Harry's follow-up to that. Mm-hmm. So she's never been in any trouble before, no idea what she's done, then police refusing to tell her. I mean, I feel like we're living in a mafia state at this point. A woke mafia state.
We definitely are, yes. It's ridiculous. And the funny thing is, recently I spoke to Harry Miller about two-tier policing, and he was talking about this sort of thing only a few weeks before this actually happened. And thankfully, he's very good about this sort of thing.
Right, superb.
And there is going to be some pushback on this. But it's worth talking about these non-crime hate incidents, because this will probably be logged. This will probably be on an advanced background check for her in the future if she wants to, you know, go into certain forms of employment.
Had an Anglo-Saxon helmet.
So what is a non-crime hate incident for anyone who isn't a government tyrant? So the definition is a non-crime hate incident means an incident or alleged incident which involves or is alleged to involve an act by a person, the subject, which is perceived by a person other than the subject to be motivated, wholly or partly, by hostility or prejudice towards persons with a particular characteristic.
So thought policing.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is entirely thought policing. Yeah, otherwise they would say that it is violating the
law. It's an act. It would be an act. Also, no, this is an intent.
Mm-hmm. Your emotional state at the time is irrelevant, because the government can never definitively establish this.
No.
The government can't say, you were feeling this emotion at that time. We don't have the technology to do that, I'm afraid.
But even then, I mean, we have like mens rea in common law, and intention matters when you're committing a crime, whether it's murder or manslaughter, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. But the emotion you were feeling when you were committing the crime... Well, I'm sorry, no. Not even, this isn't even crime. The emotion you were feeling when you came to their attention, I guess, is what we're debating here. It's like, sorry, am I not allowed to... Am I in command of my own emotions? What? I mean, there's no crime. Why am I even talking to you? Why are you policing my emotions?
I think the subjectivity of the issue is what is the most salient bit here. Because if you pass a law that says you shouldn't have a particular emotion, that allows... for the Ministry of Emotion to come in and just say, I'm reading your mind, therefore I can punish you.
It's preposterous on the face of it.
Yeah, well, I think that these sorts of things are just the desperate acts of a state in decline, isn't it? It's trying to persecute people who are making legitimate criticisms of it. That's why they're resorting to these measures that are unprecedented in British history.
Well, go show you how far the tyrannical liberal state has gone. It's no longer about what you've actually done. Now it's about whether you have the wrong emotion or not. I mean, this is all being done in the name of tolerance and diversity.
And also, in this particular case, get visited by anti-terror police when you've not even committed a crime at all.
Well, feeling an emotion that's not approved by the government is now apparently a terrorist act.
Yeah, and how... I don't even know how social media posts can be seen as being in the purview of the anti-terror police anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're inciting violence in a very direct way, I could see it perhaps being relevant.
Maybe if you're coordinating a terror attack on Twitter or Facebook or something?
That would be within their remit, right? Or perhaps you were, I don't know, calling a jihad or something like that. Then you could understand why it might be relevant. But just...
That would be your opinion.
Sorry, Stelios.
No, I wanted to introduce a slightly comedic angle. Just think of all these horror movies with exorcisms where you have a Vatican priests who go and try to establish whether it is an exorcism or not. And they're really skeptic about it. If that was a woke thing, they would say half the earth is possessed.
Yeah. They're worried about. That's why they think the far right is everywhere. Yeah. Like, the evil emotions are out there in the public. And apparently they have a license to go and expunge them.
Yeah, apparently so. So it's also worth mentioning as well that these non-crime hate incidents, they had been sort of put on hold because Harry Miller of Fair Cop had a case with Humberside Police after there was a complaint over a supposed transphobic tweet, and this was logged as a non-crime hate incident, which Harry rebuffed because they're silly. It's not actually a crime. Why are you making a record of it, which shows up in background checks?
Starmer decided to bring them back, didn't he?
He did indeed. Yes. So here is an article from the 2nd of September. Police log more non-crime hate incidents despite crackdown. So yes, even though there were limits by Suella Braverman to limit the practice, they've brought them back and there are more than ever. And it seems like not only is it just for non-crime, but it's also for non-terror-related terror offences. That's ultimately what we're at now. If the anti-terror police are turning up to people's door for posting things about politics, and I've seen the kind of thing that she posts, it's probably less spicy than even myself.
Right.
So the fact that that warrants anti-terror police to turn up at her door of her parents' house, harass the family, take their property, obviously leave them very worried and uncertain. And this is clearly to control people. There's no legal justification for this. It's just the state exercising force over people. And it's appalling. I think that unless we push back very hard on this sort of thing, that this could happen to anyone in the audience. It could happen to any of the people who work at Lotus Eaters, potentially, because it seems to be over nothing, because no crime was committed. Therefore, there's no reason for it to happen.
She holds opinions that are not progressive. Mm-hmm. That's what they're persecuting her for.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Stelios?
You know, if she's okay, first of all, because
yeah,
a member of our audience, is she...
That's the first thing I asked, don't worry. No, she's doing all right. I think she's had plenty of support. Lots of people have, you know, reached out and said, any way I can help, let me know. Obviously, Harry Miller's picked it up.
That's good.
There are lots of people talking about this sort of thing now. And I think that one very important thing that I've taken away from the sort of follow-up from it is that if we on the right stick up for each other, actually a lot of this becomes a lot more bearable. And I also think that the state's ability to persecute people, if we work as a group and coordinate to resist these sorts of efforts, well, you can see that Harry Miller with Fair Cop can see victories in court. Well, if multiple people are all supporting each other, then we can resist this sort of thing quite handily, I think. But yes, it's obviously a very concerning direction for the British state to go. And I, for one, don't want to see any more of this, but I think we will.
Keith says, one thing I would suggest is anonymity. Remember to keep any and all personal details off the internet when you post. That way they cannot identify you and you will not get a knock on the door. Well, who knows the scope of the administrative state's ability to track you down? I imagine they'll quite happily force any social media provider to hand over your IP details or whatever and then just trace you that way. So I'm not sure that anonymity is a defense, to be honest. Yoshi says, this is unfortunately one of the many reasons I left the UK. For the US, I prefer the gung-ho methods to tyranny. Hope the lady can get all the help she can to win this case. Well, yeah, obviously. Bald Eagle says, remember when BLM wanted to defund the police? Seems like they have the right idea now. We funded our own oppression by not defunding them. Well, it's not quite the same things in America. And
Didn't defund our police.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, it never happened to her. And I can't pronounce that name, says, this girl is a teenager. Child. Bullies. Yeah, she's 19, right?
I think the name is Awaif Neve.
Yeah, well, maybe they should write it in English if they want me to be able to pronounce it. But I appreciate your comment, because that's exactly true. They are bullying a child. I suppose technically not a child, but bullying a young woman with terror police. I mean,
yeah, if... You know, even myself at 19, if I got a visit from anti-terror police, I would be terrified to do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, let's move on. So apparently there's been a Haitian invasion of Ohio, and the people of the United States are just waking up to this, because no one expected Ohio to be the target.
Nobody expects the Haitian Inquisition, do they?
No, I mean, as you can see from the image on the screen, this man is a member of Haitian Armed Forces. You'll notice
he's very well armed, isn't he?
He doesn't actually have a gun.
No.
He's holding this stick as if it's
a... Ohio's looking a bit run down these days, by the
looks of it. This is actually... The Haitian military actually disbanded in 1995. And they had some sort of militia in 2017, I think it is. But they're not exactly a military power. So you might be thinking, well, how did this happen? Now,
I mean, who needs an army when you can have stakes like that?
Well, I mean, just... Who knows?
Well, they don't need an army if they don't even have a civilization to protect by the looks of that picture. Look at the state of it.
Yeah, it's not great. In fact, from Stone Age Herbalist here, this is a great thread about Haiti, talking about how it is a turbulent place, and in the past, like, 10 years, it's been quite crazy, actually. There's a lot going on, and I'll let you read the thread in your own time, but it's pretty mad how... I mean, it's not even the facsimile of democracy at this point. Like, it's genuinely, it's a failed state.
Is it basically featuring lots of gang warfare where you have General Horseradish and General Brown Sauce?
Yeah, basically, yeah. No, unironically, that's basically it. But, they try to have, like, elections and democracy stuff. It's fallen through.
It's wild to me that they got rid of their military. Like, in an actual country, this would be utter suicide because you'd be taken advantage of. So it suggests they're so bad in their country that they're basically uninvadable. Like, no one would actually want to invade their country and take it over because
there's
it's so
there to take over.
Exactly.
Well, there'd be no benefit to it. But the president was assassinated in 2021, and it's been downhill ever since. And so you are right, Stelios. There have been gangs operating all over the country, but particularly in Port-au-Prince. They've been fighting over slums as well. There's a particular slum complex that gang members were squabbling over for some reason. There's been hyperinflation, massive food shortages. Things are going down the tube. A normal person might look at that and say, maybe they need an intervention.
Yeah.
Maybe, actually, this would be a good time. If the Americans are like, oh, we're going to come in and liberate a country and set up a government, well, actually, Haiti's quite a good... prospect in that. And I think many Haitians might actually appreciate a bit of rule of law, order, economic prospect. Carry on. So, there have been a lot of Haitian immigrants into the United States. As of 2022, there were 731,000 of them, comprising the country's 15th largest foreign-born population. And from 2019 through to 2021, they were the top nationality for migrants crossing the Darien Gap between Colombia and Panama, and are among the largest three groups in 2022 and 2023 crossing the southern border. So, as you can see, hundreds of thousands of them are breaking in illegally. Okay. You can understand why they're doing it. You might want to ask yourself whether you want hundreds of thousands of Haitians in your
country. Well, there was a case where in 1 week there were 100,000 Haitians at the border, and that was just 1 week.
There are lots of them. And somehow they've arrived in the sleepy town of Springfield, Ohio. This is a very strange thing, because Springfield, Ohio is a sort of post-industrial town where things used to be manufactured. And then, of course, for some reason, the Americans decided we need the Chinese to manufacture everything we make. And so Springfield, Ohio went from a population of about 80,000 people down to about 60,000 people. Now, that's small, even by especially for American standards. I mean, the town we're in is 280,000, something like that. Yeah. And we're still not a city for some reason. So this is a very small place. And 20,000 Haitians just turned up one day.
That's horrifying, isn't it? You go about your life, maybe you've been working, 15, 20 years to make a life for yourself in Springfield, Ohio, and then
probably
you finally
raise that.
Yeah, you buy a house, the house that you've been eyeing up for years, and then all of a sudden the third world moves in.
Literally is what's happened. So, I mean, a third of the population just turned up from Haiti. Now,
almost like Lampedusa.
Yeah, very similar, actually. Yeah. And just to be clear, William the Conqueror conquered England with 10,000 men. 20,000 men is a very large number. 20,000 people turning up was a very large number. It's literally a third of the town has turned up. And so the mayor, has, and this is Trump territory, by the way, so make sure that you keep that in mind. The Democrats are not like sending them to Martha's Vineyard. They're sending them to the Trump post-industrial Rust Belt. So the mayor said, quote, Springfield is now saturated. Mayor Rob Rue told the last commission meeting, this was in July, that they did not know about the possibility of a large immigrant population coming, but said a network of businesses knew what was coming, and the city's immigrant accountability response team that was formed last year to discover the possibility has discovered the possible companies knew they were going to make an effort to bring individuals who are crossing the border. Interesting.
So it was a coordinated effort from lots of private companies against...
Not just private companies.
No.
Well, of course the Biden administration is involved.
Of course.
Rue said he was upset the city didn't get the chance to plan for the immigrants. Because if a bunch of multinational corporations and the US government are going to dump, as well as a bunch of NGOs, are going to dump 20,000 Haitians on them in only a few years... Maybe that requires a little bit of preparation if you are going to do this to us.
Well, surely they didn't have the infrastructure to deal with that massive influx, right?
Obviously not. Why would they? The city officials are, of course, asking for help from the state and federal government, but they're not getting it. There are Haitian-led community centres which are offering aid. Who's funding them? The new Haitian Community Help and Support Centre is led by Haitian community leaders, which Haitian pastor and president of the community centre boards, Villez Doran Saville, says gives it a unique position. And so many resources for Haitians are run by non-profits and local government agencies.
Oh, it's funny how that works, isn't it? It's almost like
incredible.
NGOs and transnational corporations are ruining nations deliberately to make money off of them.
Yeah. And when people like, okay, but they're illegal immigrants, when are they going back? The federal government said, never. We're going to extend their status. So, of course, most Haitians are in America legally, but lots of them are there illegally. And Homeland Security officials extended the temporary legal status for Haitians already in the United States, which will allow lots and lots of them in Springfield to remain until at least February 2026. So they're not going home anytime soon. And of course, this is frequently comes up. This is a subject that frequently comes up in the city's commission boards, where people, and we'll get to some of it in a minute, get to express themselves and say, I didn't vote for this. Why is this happening to us? Mayor Rue says, look, we're going to do everything we can to let people know this is our top priority, because, I mean, what other problems could they possibly have? And as you can imagine, this has caused massive logistical problems in the town.
Obviously.
Again, Mayor Rue again says, this border crisis, the policy of this administration, is failing cities like ours and taxing us beyond our limit. This has overwhelmed safety services and caused great concern for the community. And city manager Brian Heck added, the city does not have the capacity to sustain this pace of illegal immigration. It's taxing our infrastructure, it's taxing our public safety, it's taxing our schools, it's taxing healthcare, it's taxing our housing. And federal funding has actually been reduced over the last couple of years. So this is a partisan political attack on a Trump voting area by the Biden administration.
I mean, if you have an influx of a third of the population to a place, and you also cut down federal funding to support them, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, any kind of economic activity there will not be able to absorb a third of the population in the shorter...
Well, the federal government have deliberately set up a situation that is impossible to solve.
Yes.
Short of a miracle.
Yeah. It seems that the Biden administration is deliberately immiserating a Trump voting base area. That's what they appear to be doing. And so... He carries on this, concerning to us as a community, because adding 20,000, we need additional support, we need additional resources. Unsurprisingly. There was a write-up in the Daily Mail that explained why this is happening, and what I hated about this write-up, if the non-crime hate division don't bring me up for disliking something, is the way that it's being framed, because it's as if it's the residents of Springfield, Ohio themselves who are responsible for this because they're being inefficient economic units.
This is a very subversive headline, by the way.
Oh, it very much is, yeah.
But sorry, do carry
on. Oh, I thought you wanted to explain why.
Well, okay. Newcomers. They're just newcomers. They're not Haitian cannibals. You know, it's not
calm down. Like, we can't say that everyone from Haiti's a cannibal or anything like that, right?
But they could be cannibals. Because, there was an endemic of people eating each other in Haiti. I've seen proof of it.
Yeah, sure. But we can't just say that all Haitians are cannibals or anything like that.
Sure. But surely
also,
it's
a dying city.
Exactly. It's
a dying city that is enhanced by bringing across people who have been living in abject poverty. And this is somehow a solution to, the economic problems rather than a cause of more.
But the very notion of this is, well, if you're not economically growing, then you are somehow a burden. Like, if the size of the city shrinking, okay, so was it making the quality of life there bad? No one was complaining about it. But now things have got a lot worse since you've crammed in 20,000 new people who don't share a similar culture.
Let's improve things by making them worse.
Yeah.
That's their mantra.
Well, also, the fact that this is a deliberate effort by the Biden regime to basically punish someone for voting for Trump.
Clearly.
Is that not an act of terror? Because the intended consequence of this for people's attitudes is that, if I vote for Trump, they're going to flood my country with some of the worst people at our southern border. And surely that's just trying to disincentivize it. It's basically an act of terror on their own population. Well,
sovereign is he who makes the exception. And if they declare it's not terror, then it's not.
Mm.
But anyway, so in Springfield, Ohio, the population fell from 1960 to 80, from 80,000 to 60,000 in 2014. And car factories closed, other industry pull out. And so this is literally replacement migration. They're like, okay, well, we need another 20,000 people to prop that up to encourage businesses to come back. And so it was in 2014 that officials put together a plan, save the town by convincing businesses to set up shop and provide new jobs. So Japanese vehicle parts maker Topra was one of the first to arrive in 2017, followed by a microchip manufacturer, a logistics company, and many more. And so about 8,000 new jobs were created by 2020, and they have only increased since then, but there were not enough workers to fill them.
But they're talking about it as if,
an economic zone.
If car manufacturers are following Haitians around like seagulls follow a fishing trawler around, like they might...
It's the other way around. The Haitians follow the car manufacturers.
Apparently so, yeah. Well, it's mad to suggest that these 20,000 people, they're all involved in the manufacturing industry. I'm sure they've got all of the qualifications to create Japanese, refined technical car parts.
But what I find really interesting about this is just how much a part of the regime the Daily Mail is, right? Because this is the most regime reporting you can imagine, right? So the 20,000 came in just a few years, swelling the town's population, which was just 58,000, as if somehow they're losing out on anything by not having 20,000 Haitians living with them, right? The immigrants had social security numbers and job permits, paid taxes, and lived in houses that were empty and boarded up as the town shrank. What are the odds that they all had jobs, taxes, they paid taxes and had social security numbers? Like, what are the odds? There are going to be loads of those who are illegals. Loads of them, right? And this, of course, has put a massive burden on everything. I mean, like, getting an appointment at the local doctors, same sort of problem with the NHS, when you just have the same amount of infrastructure and then a third more population, of course, this causes problems. And there were more. I mean, there was a Jamie McGregor, the CEO of McGregor Metal Plant, said... I think the whole notion of migrants taking American jobs is hogwash. That's spoken like a person who has never made payroll or tried to run a business. The fact of the matter is, without the Haitian associates that we have, we had trouble filling these positions. It's like, right, okay, so, interesting. It's not that you can make the jobs more attractive, and if you don't need to make the jobs more attractive by, for example, importing low-wage foreign workers, then it's just not a problem.
Well, also, the notion that these people are just going to you move them en masse to a place and they're just going to integrate perfectly into American society. That, they can work in the local McDonald's and, you can trust what's in your beef burger.
Notice that the word integration never came up. They don't care if they integrate. The integration is just not on the table. What they are economic units. I'm actually reading a book at the moment about the Assyrian Empire, just for fun, because I enjoy that sort of thing. And it's very much the sort of imperial Assyrian attitude, where it's just, no, we are going to deport large populations to Assyria to be workers. We're just going to take them and make them work for us. It doesn't, you know, I mean, and the Assyrian Empire was a highly stratified, almost caste-like society, where, of course, these foreigners would be right at the bottom. They wouldn't be given various sort of privileges. We've got a kind of inverse of that.
We also need to bear in mind, and people need to bear in mind, that multiculturalism that progressivists are pushing forward has nothing to do with integration or assimilation. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
That's why they're not talking about integration.
Yeah. And weirdly, the Assyrians were way better at integration.
I'm not surprised.
The 10 lost tribes of Israel were lost because the Assyrians deported them to Assyria, where they were just absorbed and intermarried into the local population and stopped having their own ethnic identity. So that's actually what integration would look like. But of course, as you say, multiculturalism is designed to prevent that. It's meant to create small colonies.
It literally says that asking for this is bad.
Yeah. Anyway, so as you can imagine, there have been some tensions in this community that is being exploited as a purely economic zone. For example, in December 2023, there was a terrible accident where some newly arrived diverse Haitian man decided he was going to drive the wrong way up a motorway and hit a school bus coming head on, which killed one of the children on it. This was the first day back at school for these kids, and one of them didn't make it. And a bunch of others were, of course, badly injured.
This is, of course, the thing with migration, is that there's always a consequence for the native population.
Yeah.
And it's something that they shouldn't have to bear.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'd like to ask Mr. McGregor of McGregor's Metals, was that a justified trade? You got some cheap workers. Someone lost their child, their son. Mm-hmm. Is that a justified trade?
I mean, well, this is what we should be putting towards people who advocate for immigration.
Yeah.
How many people have to die before you admit that this is a bad idea? Show them the examples and say, well, this must be acceptable to you, because that's what they're trying to ultimately do in both North America and Europe. Try and make us accept that murder is now a part of our daily life, when we, you know, many of us are old enough to remember the world without it.
This wasn't a murder, this was a terrible accident.
Of course, yeah.
It was a really stupid accident. How do you end up driving the wrong way on a motorway?
It was something that didn't need to happen.
No, I mean, the guy who caused the accident was 35 years old. Sorry, do you don't know that you're supposed to follow the flow of traffic on a motorway?
It's old enough to know better, yeah.
35? If you were like 16 and you just got your driving license, okay, maybe I could be like, well, you know, stupid mistake. But 35, come on.
Even for a 16-year-old.
Well, I know.
Basic human nature, we knew you have survival instinct or something.
And so the city commission meeting on August 29th exploded with anger at the Haitian community in Ohio on this. For nearly 2 hours, residents came to the podium to speak. Some warned of an invasion of Haitians and the crime they would allegedly bring. Another person raged that the Haitian flag had been raised at the city hall as part of Flag Day celebrations. Again, why are you raising your flag there?
Conquest.
Again, integration just totally off the table. And 4 years ago, says the school's district, director of federal programs, says, 4 years ago, we didn't have a Haitian population. That's how quickly this is happening. And that's how quickly this has happened to Swindon as well. Mm. Like, it's just instantly, boom, tens of thousands of people have turned up.
Well, it's not organic, is it? It's government policy.
Yeah. But, you know, again, organ of the regime, Al Jazeera here, what I've done is presented this article back to front. Because at the front of the article, Sony Auguste remembers 18th of May well. It was a warm, sunny day in Springfield, Ohio, and a crowd had gathered at the Veterans Park Amphitheater, where a line of canopy tents were decorated with red and blue balloons for Haitian Flag Day. Live performers have been flown in from outside of the state to blast Caribbean tunes. The city's burgeoning Haitian food scene, which we'll get to in a minute, A mix of newly opened food trucks and underdone cafes, I'm sure the hygiene standards are incredible, served mountains of plantain stew and rice.
Not a human leg in sight.
Yeah, on the other side of Buck Creek, at Springfield City Hall, the Haitian flag was raised and the country's national anthem played. And then someone killed a child because they're an idiot. I could feel the connection with the other Haitians. I felt at home that day. To know that we have that was a big surprise. But in the months since, a pall has fallen over the city's Haitian community. Right, they're the real victims of a Haitian man accidentally killing a child. Anyway, let's move on before I get angry about this. So, J.D. Vance has been really strong on this. He's been banging the drum about Springfield, Ohio for ages now. And he's completely right. He just summarizes basically everything I'm saying here, so I won't need to go into it. And so the council meetings have been getting a bit out of hand. Right, they've become a bit of a flashpoint, and the internet has noticed them. Now, sorry that this is on its side. I didn't put it up. But I think it might be worth watching this, because you can see that there are direct tensions, and people from the internet have noticed this as well.
Eggers.
Good evening to the people of Springfield. You don't know who I am. My name is Nathaniel Higgers of Blood Tribe. I was at the head of the anti-Haitian immigration march earlier this month. I'm sure the Honorable Mr. Rob Rue recognizes me, considering he supposedly knew of our action before we even arrived.
He's a literal Nazi. He marched with swastikas.
First of all, I would like to dispel the myth that you knew of our march and intentionally had no reaction or made no forewarning about it as a preventative measure. You had no more idea than the police officers or Haitians. And it's frankly insulting to our organization to make such a claim.
So I'll stop that there just so you can see that there have been Nazi marches against this, and they're not happy about it.
Are they these actual ones?
Yeah, no, I think these are actual ones. Yeah, I think these are actual ones. As the woman said, there was a swastika being flown at the march and things like this. So it's attracting, it's becoming a flashpoint for all kinds of political ideology. And so the question is, why is this coming about? How are they even getting there? So I thought I'd look into it. It turns out the US government runs a Haitian family reunification parole program. That's nice, isn't it? The US government has resumed this, because of course Trump paused this, in 2022, allowing eligible Haitians with US citizen or legal permanent resident family member to bring their families over, which is great. That's wonderful. Until September 2023, there were 85,000 Haitian parole recipients representing the largest group of beneficiaries of this process. So 85,000 of them.
Well, allow Britain to be a bit of a cautionary tale on this, that a lot of these family reunification efforts, you know, you get, oh, they're my fifth cousin twice removed, you know, there's about 25 people living under the same roof because, you know, these are all, we're all just one big happy family. Yeah. All of my cousins, they don't look anything like me, but we're related, I promise.
Also, let's reunify 20,000 Haitians with literally no one from their family. In a place in Ohio City.
Yeah. And then you can look more on the ground where you've got something like this. This is an article speaking to a multi-service business called Doc Assist Services LLC. Doc. Was there anyone from Haiti who had Doc? Anyone?
Oh, I think there might have been, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Sarah Janvier helps Haitians fleeing a humanitarian crisis to relocate in Ohio. She was born in Haiti, but hasn't been able to go back. Every time she says, you know, we plan to travel, there's just something going on. It's either kidnapping or shootings or gas issues or all types of safety and insecurity issues. There's a lot of chaos going on, you know, just in general. A lot of families displaced. A lot of families have been separated due to, you know, persecution or issues the country is facing. Right, okay, I can't wait to have as many of these people living as possible.
Yeah, it's ridiculous,
amazing,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And so Haiti's awful. Let's bring them here.
Yeah, well, she says, if they can kill a president, then, I mean, that being an accomplished act of crime, then people of the country have just felt really insecure. So bandits, gang members, corruption in the police system, it's just made it easier for them to be able to let the country go downhill. And so it sounds like they need help, right? It sounds like they need someone to come in and fix the problem. But but she says something has to change, but she's also wary of foreign intervention.
But will foreign intervention violate the human rights of cannibals and bad people?
Well, I mean, maybe the gang members would be locked up. I mean, honestly, you want something like a Bukabe from El Salvador just to go in and just be like, look, no, we're just going to lock them all up because they are terrorizing the entire country. But she says, no, I don't want foreign intervention because that might solve the problem. The thing is, if the problem gets solved, how many refugees does she get paid to bring into Springfield, Ohio? Her entire business model is predicated on chaos, destruction, and death in Haiti.
Well, also, the best way to have Haitians unified with their family is if they stay in Haiti.
Well, you would think that, but she says, well, look, at this point, you have to leave it in the hands of the competent leaders in Haiti and give them the chance to make the right decisions for their country. One, what competent leaders? How did it come to this position if your leaders are competent? But two, didn't your president just get shot? Aren't the gang members terrorizing everyone? Aren't the police all corrupt from your own statements? What competent leaders? It seems that you may need some outside help here.
It's pretty much a failed state, isn't it?
It seems to be a failed state, yeah. But she wants them to just move to the United States instead. You also have the Haitian Community Network, which is HACON. Their mission is to bridge, be the bridge that connects the Haitian community with the right services and resources. And so they are there to support the Haitian community, the unite the diaspora under one umbrella, which is wonderful. I mean, again, who do you think they get money from? And of course, you have them ministering to the community. For example, they put them in substandard housing in Columbus, Ohio. And this then cost the locals millions because they had to rehouse them. Because they were in an apartment home called Colonial Village. 800 of them were crammed in, like 15 in an apartment. And so the city had to spend $1 million being like, okay, we have to put them somewhere else. We can't allow them to live like this.
Well, they wouldn't be living like that in Haiti, would they?
Yeah, and of course you have local churches welcoming them that are becoming Haitianized, I suppose you'd call it. Because why wouldn't they be? A third of the towns are now Haitian.
It frustrates me how much churches are sort of quislings against the sort of will of their own country.
Yeah, and the good of the people they're meant to be caring for. But what's interesting, though, I found this, and very interesting here, is they're not leaving their politics at home. Some nation Haitians, like native Haitians like Jean Manuel, are worried about loved ones living in the country in crisis. I don't know one Haitian that does not watch the news. We sleep on the news and wake up on the news. It's sad. I don't see how it's going to resolve because you can't go in and kill everyone. You know, I don't see how it's going to resolve. But I would really start from the guys in the suits, the politicians. I would start with them first, not the ones in the street with the guns, because most of them don't own it. Right, so he's lamenting that you can't just kill everyone that's causing the problem. He'd like to kill the politicians. And he's very... all the Haitians are very interested in the news. Not very democratic.
Right? No.
It's also a bit confused.
It's a little bit confused. But that's just a very... Well, I mean, I'd like to kill all the politicians, but... I mean...
That's what he's saying, by the way.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Yeah, so just, you know, random Haitian... instant jumps to political violence. So, okay. But they say, you know, we're sad to see what Haiti becomes, and we all have the hope that Haiti will be the place to retire because we love the place. So, oh, that sounds great. Anyway, so a bunch of people from Springfield, Ohio, were claiming bonkers stuff that Kathy Young here points out. Naomi Wolf is retweeting totally normal Haitian immigrants ate my daughter's cat stuff that totally really happened. I mean, there was a video of it. I'm not going to play.
Please don't show it.
I'm not going to play. But as you can see, there's a woman in the foreground there with something on the floor that thankfully you can't see, but that's a beheaded cat. And later on in the video, it shows a woman getting arrested from beheading the cat.
Well, I mean, there are also examples in Italy of an African immigrant basically barbecuing a cat outside of a tube station. Just outside of the entrance.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are lots of other examples. I mean, Zero Hedge here doing a good job of just being like, what is going on here? And just quotes from locals.
That looks like a duck.
It's a Canada goose by the looks of it, which, to be fair, if I had to pick a bird, that would be the kind, because they're very aggressive.
Also, it's probably like Haitian kitchen, Josh.
There's probably a lot of meat on a goose as well. During a city commission on August 27th, one local resident said that Haitians were grabbing ducks from the parks, cutting their heads off and eating them. I hope they were cooking them. Another local resident posted to a Facebook group that their neighbour had a cat go missing and he'd see it hanging from a branch like you do with a deer for butchering, and the Haitians were carving up for meat. There can't be that much meat on a bloody cat. Another local told the city that she can't take it anymore as Haitian immigrants are littering on her yard and harassing her and her husband. So this is what you get when your town is just an economic zone. This is the imperial mindset of the current people who rule us. You're an economic unit, and if you're not producing enough, then they'll bring in people to replace you who do. The shadow ban says, politics has devolved into used policy to attack enemies. Immigrants to Ohio towns, but not Vermont and Connecticut, as they vote Democrat. Starmer cutting winter fuel because old people tend to vote Conservative. Yeah, that's 100% what's happening here. That's 100% what's happening. Again, not going to Martha's Vineyard, are they? OPH UK says, multiculturalism is your government balkanizing your country and telling you to like it or else. Yes, that's true. And Cranky Texan says, I'm in favour of government sponsoring migrant reunification programs. I call it deportation. Yes, well, migrant reunification programs in their own countries.
I think I will need some equipment.
Yes. Do you want to pass that mouse over?
Sure. Yeah. I shall bless you with the mouse, Stelios.
Good luck with this, Stelios.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thank
I'll frisbee it across. There you go.
Right, so it hasn't been particularly a day where we're discussing good news. No. Now we are going to talk about Ireland and the family. Right, the Education Company of Ireland has decided to promote diversity with a new school book addressed towards 14 and 15-year-olds. And they really have a problem with the Irish traditional family. They have a very aggressive way of promoting diversity. But before I tell you exactly what they did, I want to say that when I look at this picture, I don't see something particularly bad. It seems to me to be a traditional Irish family in a farm.
I mean, if you just think about this, this guy's winning. He's got his wife, two kids, he's got a farm, he's got a couple of cows, chickens, cat. You don't have that. Look at you at home, sat in an apartment in like Los Angeles or something, like spending thousands a month just to exist in a box.
Familiar, yeah.
You get to drive for an hour to finally get to your crappy office job. And you don't have a wife, a family, or a farm. You don't have any of these things. This guy's an absolute Chad. Look at the absolute 100% winning of that guy's life and compare it to your own and be like, oh, you know, the average sort of like Zoomer sort of progressive, like, oh, you know, that guy sucks. So that guy's winning everything.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Yeah. I can't complain about the job, but the rest of it, he's outdoing me.
He's outdoing almost everyone. Mm. Like, he's really winning.
He's literally killing it.
Yeah.
I mean, he even got a farm in the background there. Look,
I want to know his own secret.
I like the fact that, you know, they're all happy and smiling. Look, everything's going great for him. You don't want to be that guy, do you? So, God, you wish you were that guy.
So, you know the thing with the duck rabbit, where you're shown something, you can interpret it as a duck, you can interpret it as a rabbit. Mm-hmm. So I can interpret this as a good thing, but it features in a school book.
He's got his own house.
Where they're trying to portray it as a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and how are they trying to portray it as a bad thing? They're trying to create a caricature of the traditional Irish family, and they are trying to contrast it with the new mixed race family.
Oh, okay.
And I'm gonna show you some pictures here.
What do they own?
Well,
the Colosseum, apparently.
They are in front of the Colosseum and they're taking a selfie.
You mean,
and the angle,
they're tourists.
Yeah. I mean, you can see the bag there, so they're no fixed abode when they're visiting Italy.
Anyway, so what they did was to create a caricature of these two families, and they said traditional Irish family bad, mixed race family good. So they...
Is this what... Hang on, sorry, just go down. Is that a family, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Where are the children?
They are behind.
the ideal family doesn't have children. They've already grown up.
Well, they don't look old enough. This just looks like a bunch of student holidaymakers.
Carl, they're in front of the Colosseum.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what this means. They just threw it in.
Yeah, I've been to the Colosseum, and I'm living a lot more closely to the sort of Irish hobbit than these guys.
So also,
I mean,
the ideal family, they dress as French people when they're supposedly Irish, and, you know, they're eating pizza and they have no loyalty to their country anymore.
But as if an Irish guy who owns a farm and his own house can't go on holiday.
Mm-hmm. Of course, probably more gone. Able.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but maybe also, then the dedications to the farm.
Yeah, I mean, I think something particularly scandalous is that they went to the Colosseum straight after the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they left the tag on the bag, which is just, who does this?
The most scandalous thing is that they haven't actually booked a hotel. They haven't planned ahead.
I love the idea that they say, look, if you go to Italy, you can get pizza. It's like, oh yeah, Ireland. You can't get a pizza anywhere, I imagine.
Exactly. Which, mentioning food, what does the traditional family eat? They have been portrayed as basically eating on a daily basis potato, cabbage, and bacon. Right, that's so the only thing they eat.
But also, they've got some cows, so I'm guessing they have, like, you know, Sunday roasts like we do in England.
No, they don't.
Oh, why not?
They don't, because that's what the school book says.
Oh, okay.
They're not allowed to have diversity in their food. It's just potatoes, cabbage, and bacon. That's it.
That's a massive straw man of Irish food.
But also, I would be perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, that's enough for Carl.
Gammon for a Sunday roast, you know what I mean?
So they had that chapter, the all fair, all equal, and they said that's the bad, the backwards and obsolete family.
Which is
they
why
they always eat the same thing. The daughter is dancing Irish dances.
Mm-hmm.
I think they also said that she wanted to do yoga, but the parents didn't let her.
Okay.
And there may have been some reports about her saying that she wants to befriend lesbians, and they said no.
Yoga is what unionists do, isn't it?
And also, they travel in Ireland. They never go abroad.
Right.
Whereas the other ones are essentially loving difference and change. They love change and difference. Yep. They eat curry, pizza, and Asian food, travel internationally, and visit art galleries. Implying
this is appealing to children, though. Children don't really like change that much.
Also, they don't like curry that much.
Yeah, children like bland food and routine.
Yeah, yeah.
They've watched the videos.
Honestly, I'm not even joking. I have four kids. Like, if watching my 2-year-old fill her face with mashed potato is the funniest thing in the world. You know, she doesn't like curry and Asian food. Obviously, they like pizza.
I mean, that opens up the debate that we have been having about foreign kitchens and stuff. Yeah. And I think, honestly, I mean, I remember you were defending English kitchen, and obviously, but I will defend Greek kitchen. And I think we have the right amount of ingredients, because if you go more to the east, mm-hmm. the more ingredients you have in recipes, the more the likelihood of your stomach finding some ingredients not particularly to your taste. But this family has all this love. They love curry, pizza. They eat pizza in Italy, as if Italy doesn't have other food as well.
But as if you can't get curry outside of India or something.
Also, I will frustrate the Italians. I'm a thick crust pizza guy. Not thin crust.
Honestly, I've got a controversial take. I actually don't like Italian pizza. I think American pizza is way better.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh. That is controversial. Most controversial take I've ever heard you say, I think.
It's pretty spicy.
Right. So here, they travel internationally, whereas the bad family travels just inside Ireland. I think basically that doesn't explain how you can find Irish people basically everywhere in the world, but no, that's just me saying.
Yeah, whenever I've been on holiday, there have been Irish people there.
Yeah, and they visit art galleries. They are the cultured ones, where the other ones, they're just milking cows.
This is part of a long game.
Like in the Robert De Niro in the mid, the
sorry, just part of a long game. Look, I'm just sick of seeing Irish people on holiday. I want you to stay home and go on holiday in Ireland, so, you know, be the Irish farmer.
Right, but these people here, they're saying in the family, in the book, they say, we have relations in London and Australia, and our family is part Irish, part Romanian, and part Dutch.
Where
picture.
Where did that guy come from, man?
Most years we house swap with a family in a different country. Have you watched Hostel? Just watch these horror movies and you'll stop doing that. It's an issue of safety.
I don't want some
You shouldn't be telling kids to just going to strangers' houses.
House swapping's up there with wife swapping with being things that weird metropolitan liberals do.
Yeah.
It's a great way to meet people, go and live with them, and learn about other cultures and societies. It makes you realize that when you get to know them, people are more alike than different.
Oh, are they really?
Where's the page where it says, come on in to my house. Oh, you can stay here. You can live here if you want. Have you met my wife? She's in bed right now.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Let's go back to that a second. Right. So you realize that people are more alike than different. Then why would I bother traveling?
You should be house swingers.
No. What's the effing point? If I'm going to go overseas and be like, oh, these are basically just like Irish people, which obviously they're not, but let's assume that that was true, why would I bother leaving Ireland then? Because I've just spent a load of money to go to somewhere that's just like Ireland, according to the Metropolitan Liberal.
Also,
who's lying through their teeth, because they know that we're not just like them.
But also, that's harmful for the children, generally speaking. Just changing environment every year is not a good thing.
Sure, but it's just...
This family doesn't care about it.
But it's just so obviously nonsense. If we're more alike than different, then it... I going over to, you know, Irish McPaddy over in the next field, well, that's the same as going to Bengal or something, right? That's no different. No, we're more alike than different. Don't be a racist. They're just like Paddy over there. So why would I even bother? It's such an obvious lie. It's so transparent.
So there was a major backlash, and the education company said basically that they were taking it back and they're really sorry. But really, no one is particularly convinced that about them being sorry. No one is particularly convinced. They're sorry that they were caught, because you know these activists in all these NGOs, they really think they know better and that everyone else is just uneducated.
It's also interesting that they depicted them in Italy as well. They didn't fancy going to Haiti, you know, having some Haitian barbecue.
But also they love reggae and hip hop, whereas the traditional family loves Irish dances, and that's obsolete for the people at the education company in Ireland.
Yeah, you should go to a European country instead of Ireland.
Yes. So, I mean, this is just one of the latest chapters of the anti-racist agenda that is being pushed over in Ireland. And also there has been a case, a very famous case, with Enoch Burke, who is a teacher who lost his job from a school because he didn't play along with transgenderism. And you see here the people show up and this police officer is licking his lips.
as if,
you know, the father of this teacher is just prey and they're about to do this. And if you see the camera back, he's still licking his lips. Maybe he's thinking of curry food or something. Yeah. It's just atrocious. And they're asking him...
It's like a far-right thug.
They're just asking where is your son?
Karen is browbeating him,
still licking his lips.
I'm looking now. He transfer.
He put the tongue back in.
Yeah. Lovely garden though.
Yeah. They're basically coming up to his
Karenism.
Front porch. Intimidating
Karenism, is it? Sorry, Karen.
Intimidating his family. Yep. They found him and basically they put him on trial, and they said that, and from his account, he writes that he has been arrested at Wilson's Hospital School after refusing to endorse and affirm transgender ideology. Judge Barry O'Donnell, who made almost €400,000 from 2016 to 2018 representing TUSLA as a barrister, ordered his arrest. And he's saying that this is an Irish state child protection agency that deems not playing along with transgenderism as a sort of hate crime.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are supporting him, and there is a lot of popular support. People chanting "Free Enoch Burke, Free Enoch Burke." Here you have there's a video of the police officers, Gardaí, I think they're pronounced. Apologies if I mispronounced.
Garda.
They were dragging people out. They literally drug them up and took them off. So what is interesting here is that this is just one kind of attack that we see throughout the West. And you could say that the politicization of the classroom is basically universal. It's not just a Western thing. Mm-hmm. But in the West, it has a particular ecophobic or anti-native culture
self-evident
orientation. It is self-evident. Now I think we're past the stage where people denied it, Now they, and we are past the stage where people also said, well, it happens, but it, only in a few. Now they're saying it is happening and it is a good thing. And we have here...
It's not just a good thing, it's government policy.
Yes, and we have here Rafe Mancou saying that essentially the politicization of the classroom is really disastrous about feeling a sort of ethnic pride.
Yeah.
And ethnic pride is not necessarily bad. That's what a lot of people try to tell us. And it's just...
Well, we know it's not bad because every non-Western ethnic group is encouraged to have ethnic pride.
Yes.
So it's not that it's just a bad thing.
And here we have also Labour. We have this article from 2 weeks ago from the Free Speech Union. And it shows that Labour has zero intentions of being sensible and protecting free speech in academia. We all know that academia is predominantly leftist. I think the overwhelming majority of the institutions have been taken by the left. And here Keir Starmer is not at all interested in promoting an ideology. To do something about it and to promote free speech.
Well, they've rescinded the conservative protections for free speech in academia.
And here we have the other tweet from Rafe where he says Britain is being ideologically subverted. In the 90s, noughts, and 2000, and last decade, pride in Britain was approximately 85%. Today is around 64%. So if you raise children and you're indoctrinating them, that basically your culture is responsible for all the evil in the world, they're not going to feel particularly attached to their country. But what we also need to say is that a lot of the young men are rejecting this.
Well, I agree with what you're saying there, but also I'm not particularly proud of Britain at the minute. Wow. And that's because I care about Britain, you know. The material standards and, I suppose, the metaphysical standards of the country have declined.
Yeah.
And
but that's not what they're talking about.
No, of course not. But I think that to characterise it as just being oikophobic in its entirety, there's a much broader thing here of we're a nation in decline.
I think you're correct, but I don't think that you and Rafe are raising different points.
Because no, probably not, no.
I think he would say, and I would say, with respect to what you say, that the people who are talking about are shaming, you know, the native population are also talking about pride, especially in June. And generally speaking, so they are saying we are proud of what we are achieving right now, which is the state of diversity, which has nothing to do with a traditional family, as we said in the beginning of the segment. So it's literally a matter of which part of the culture one is ashamed of or proud about. Right, and here we have an interesting thing by Morrissey. He basically says diversity is just another name for conformity. We can play this here. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting.
All about, we must have diversity, which is diversity is people that you don't know, and mm-hmm. It just means, it's just another word for conformity. It's the new way of saying conformity. Diversity. You don't see anything diverse anywhere. No. It's all conformity.
It's having the opposite effect, in fact, isn't it?
It is, because when people talk about diversity, they don't think about the great things that we don't have in common. Mm-hmm. And those things are ignored. And they always made countries very interesting, because you could travel to Germany, you could see the most incredible culture. You go to Italy, you see the most incredible culture. Now they just want everything to be the same.
Yeah.
So diversity means conformity. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean avant-garde or mm-hmm. let's make really interesting strange art. It means box everybody.
Yeah.
Diversity, I think, is a dreadful word. Mm. Pin it to anything and that situation is finished.
It's the great homogenizing blender of international liberal culture. Oh, I'm going to go to this foreign country and get myself a McDonald's or a KFC.
Yeah, that's exactly. When I go and visit places, and I've traveled a lot, you know, I've walked the earth to a considerable degree. I don't want to go and just find the same four coffee chains,
yeah,
or the same, you know, food chains or something.
Yeah. But do you know, Stelios, they serve beer in McDonald's in France. In the Netherlands, they have a different burger sauce.
Diversity.
You know, there's so much variety.
It's Le Big Mac.
Yeah, when I go to foreign countries, I want to get food poisoning.
You want to eat the slop on holiday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a particularly aggressive push to make a problem out of tradition and present traditional families as being obsolete, a thing of the past, and something that people should be ashamed of. But I think that this is basically atrocious. And I want to end on a white pill and a fun thing, because today was, it was a rough day. And this segment, I mean, we did laugh a bit, but generally speaking, the subject isn't funny.
Good, is it?
There's a new movie by Matt Walsh, and he is talking about anti-racism, which is also the theme of the segment, and particularly the anti-racist attack of Ireland. And he basically sat down with Robin DiAngelo, who is one of the most famous anti-racists who have written White Fragility.
How he's dressed.
Yeah, and he basically pretended to be an anti-racist activist, someone who wants to atone for whiteness. And he had his black producer there, and they started saying that we need to find a way to apologize to him, and we need to, and he started giving him money. She felt a bit weird there, and said, I thought of it as a systemic thing, but she also felt really bad, and she also went to her purse, we see her here, and found money to give to Penny.
I just want to point out, saying that, oh, he tricked her, this isn't a trick, this is what she truly believes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't a trick.
She's
like,
got the money to hand out as
Yeah, she has cash.
I mean, say what you want, but it is good trolling. It's good trolling. So, I mean, that's it. And I think at the end of the day, I really think that this meme is correct. Behind the DEI, it is basically, it is racism. And the way it is being pushed forward, it is anti-white racism. Yeah. Just as simple as that.
Bobo Bad says, mass third world imports are part of a two-part attack on small towns. Referring to the previous one, where's the mouse gone? The other is NGOs and non-profits issuing false reports about, to stymie local farms and industry. Around me, it's Dutch and Chinese companies. Dragon Lady Chris says, we can pay millions to rehouse Haitians, but can't take care of our homeless veterans. Ridiculous. Well, you know, the homeless veterans aren't very diverse. And I can't pronounce that again. It says, pronounced Aoife. Well, why the hell isn't it spelled Aoife? I grew up in Northern Ireland and now live in Australia. I'm amazed the Irish haven't kicked off over this. I'm proud of being Irish. Right, let's go to the video comments.
This looks regarding like a scene from Brazil.
Regarding Gilliam's Brazil, there's a motif I'm surprised wasn't commented upon. In all of Gilliam's work, a central motif is that of a beleaguered traditionalism being consumed by a materialistic modernity. You see it in Brazil, but it's best represented in his film The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, which is about an immortal storyteller of old rejected by a cynical modernity. What's also interesting is the antagonist of that film was mentioned by Gilliam to represent Tony Blair by name. Tony being a multi-faced con man in whose lavish glitz and glamour life all comes crashing down was discovered his charity engaged in child sex trafficking. What an odd thing to say. Also, one of my own cars makes a brief appearance, so 10 out of 10.
I haven't seen either of those.
I've seen Brazil, and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is a Terry Gilliam film, and that's a fantastic film. So I need to see more, I think.
Yeah, that's spicy. Let's go to the next one.
And now the white pill. Alex the cowherder has won the fight with some sort of spiny creature and is recovering well. Surrounded by family and friends. Look at this good boy.
He that is adorable. Again.
That cat is not looking too sure of what's going on.
Like, I always find it funny watching animals attack porcupines. Because like, there are loads of videos of leopards attacking porcupines on the internet. Which
I love videos with snakes and cats.
Oh yeah, cats' reflexes are incredible.
It's just incredible.
You see the sort of conditioning. I think it's programmed into cats, because if someone puts a cucumber on the floor, the cat sees it, they spring away like it's a snake.
Like a snake,
yeah.
But the thing is, like, with the leopards and the porcupines, like, you notice that it's never just one or two spines in the face. They're like, okay, that went bad, but maybe I can... And so they've got an entire face full of spines. They're like, okay, I think I'll give up now. It's like, look, you could have given up at the first one. It's a bloody porcupine. Let's get to the next one.
So here I am, taking my dog out for a walk, and figured I'd give you guys the view. Welcome to upstate New York. Not sure if you can make it out, but we don't have a lot of light pollution out in this area. Kind of nice.
Imagine it's great if you need some background noise to sleep. One of the first things I noticed when I went to America is just how noisy at night it is. Not, and I don't mean the residents of America, I mean the animals. It's like, wow. As I went to the sort of New England area, and they were just, I think it must have been crickets or cicadas or something like that. I don't know exactly what it was, but it's so noisy. I found it really difficult to get to sleep.
I always go to the cities, so I never really had that problem. I just couldn't really see anything. It was a bit dark. Let's go to the next one.
We've lost our way, gone down the wrong path, away from England's abundant pleasures. The birds still sing and the plants still grow, but something's changed, drifted out of sight. Do you think we might find our way home?
Well, I'm not under Starmer's bloody government, we won't.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to inevitably have to come to something, wouldn't it? I think that the English people aren't going to leave because we're too wedded to our island, we're too shaped by it to go anywhere in great numbers.
Well, you say that, but 80,000 a year leave.
Probably for Australia temporarily a lot of the time. America. And then they may well come back. But I think that if, you know, I was thinking about this over the weekend, that in World War II, you know, Britain was under unprecedented threat. Potentially, you know, there was a greater threat to civilian life than at any point in Britain's history. And none of us fled in the same way that lots of other, particularly African and Middle Eastern refugees flee. And I think that we have a very different attitude towards the world than simply just giving up and leaving. There's actually something worth fighting for here.
I agree. Canis Familiaris says, if she wanted to keep her sword, she should have left it at the local mosque, obviously.
That's true, yeah.
They wouldn't have confiscated it then, would they?
It could have even been sharp.
Yeah, exactly. Arizona Desert Rat says, did they think her dad was going to go around headbutting random people while wearing a Roman helmet? What makes a Roman helmet okay, but not an Anglo-Saxon helmet? Well, it's not that the Anglo-Saxon... The thing is, the Roman helmet isn't ethnically particular, but an Anglo-Saxon helmet implies, oh, you've got a connection to the deep past of England, and therefore, you're a racist. Charlie says, what's weird about the British establishment hating the term Anglo-Saxon is that all the Celtic languages refer to the English people as Saxon. So as such, the British police have criminalised all the Celtic languages.
It's sort of doubly insulting to me as well, because I'm not very genetically or less so culturally Anglo-Saxon, because I'm, you know, my parents are from Scotland and Devon, which are not associated with the Saxons.
No, the Saxons colonised Devon.
A little bit, yeah, but it's more of a vassal state. They didn't leave much of an imprint in the same way. It was a lot more Celtic, similar to Cornwall, I would say, than the rest of the south of England. You can see that
genetic maps.
You can look at the genetic maps, and Devon and Cornwall are separate from the rest of southern England.
Thomas says, your mates at Fair Cop will tell you not leaving details and taking items without consent is theft that is compounded by them impersonating a police officer. But also, if Merseyside police are like, yeah, no, that was legit, okay, well then give me a number. Mm-hmm. Give me something I can trace, because why should I not be able to engage with the bureaucracy as it ought to be done? Alpha of the Beta says, non-crime hate incidents are crimes against regime orthodoxy, as opposed to legitimate crimes. Great point. It's a short list of political actors, people who reject regime programming and intimidation. I wonder what they will use, to what use that list will be put one day. Yeah, good question. Based Ape says, well, it's great to know our anti-terror police are focusing on what's important, fancy replica helmet monitoring, instead of dealing with actual designated terrorist organisations that operate openly and freely on our streets. No, Josh, drink driving is not a sport, says. The Romans were gay, wine-drinking foreigners. The police were right to question you on having one of their helmets. Get a good old Anglo-Saxon helmet.
They're foreigners, too.
When I heard about this, I just retweeted it with the cat reading the newspaper meme, like, I should get an Anglo-Saxon helmet.
I've got a Crusader helmet.
Oh, cool.
Can't mistake that.
Yeah. Les says, Les Roast Beef says, regarding the sword, it's illegal to possess a curved blade over 50 centimetres, unless it is a traditionally made or antique blade, regardless of whether it's sharp or not. So it probably fell short of that law. Oddly, straight-bladed swords aren't illegal yet. Right. So I can get a Crusader longsword.
Get a claymore.
But I can't get a Saracen scimitar.
Based.
Interesting, yeah. Very.
But they would have said there that she violated law. That law.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess. I'm just taking this. Well, you can't just come in and take stuff.
I like the particular knowledge of the laws regarding swords or something.
What a peculiar thing.
Curved swords are un-English, Stelios.
Yeah, Stelios.
Yeah.
They're like foreign swords around here. Hector says, I will let cannibals eat as many people as necessary in the name of diversity. I mean, that's literally where you're at.
Diversity of kitchen and food. You know?
Like, I saw people arguing. They were like, oh, cats aren't part of Haitian cuisine. It's like, dude, they're going through a famine. Like, I think they'll eat whatever they can.
Yeah. Humans not part of their cuisine either, traditionally, but they'll still eat it.
Human legs.
Yeah. I've seen the video, yeah.
Joshua says, I live 20 miles away from Springfield, where this happens.
Springboro.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it's a very red area, just like mine. They got Haitians, we got Uzbeks. The point is to flood Republican areas with immigrants to dilute the vote, and we also get Indians. Yeah, no, it's undoubtedly a political attack, 100%. And it's just not even contentious. Like, they would never do this to their own areas. Kevin says, sending 20,000 barbarians to your political opponent's territories is hardly going to push the locals to vote for you. Yeah, but that's not what this is about, because they've already assumed that they're lost causes, right? So now what you're doing is flooding enemy territory with combatants. Baron von Wargoose says the real fun will begin. What?
I mean, he changed his name.
Yeah. He was Warhawk, but now he's Wargoose.
Yeah, there was an intermediate stage.
I suppose there was. The real fun will begin once people of Springfield recognize that there is no help coming. Soon it will dawn on them that no matter how much they ask the government, they will not act, and will instead make the situation worse out of spite and hatred for their fellow countrymen. Yes, the mask is slipping and this is how democracies die. Very much so. That's the point. This was state policy. They funded the NGOs, they expressly brought the people in, they invited in the companies to take advantage of the workforce, and they told you to shut up and you're going to have to pay for it. Screwtape Laser says, I have a theory about the invaders being placed in heartland cities. America is quietly undergoing a manufacturing renaissance in the face of deglobalization and war. These men are being seeded to provide cheap labor in place of the more expensive locals. Yeah, well, that is what's happening. That's correct. Don't know why they can't just employ Americans to do the manufacturing. I suppose it's cost. Arizona Desert Rat says, what the Biden regime doesn't understand is that the people in the old Rust Belt rural communities tend to be the kindest, most generous people you ever meet. Well, that's why they hate you. This is a ridiculous situation. All it's going to do is galvanize the determination to get Trump back into office.
They like you so much they want to eat you.
Well, no, the people in there before the...
They want a piece of you.
Inviting a Haitian round for tea, like the Tiger came tea, kid's book.
It's just crazy. It's like, yeah, Haiti is one of the most lawless and dangerous places in the world. Yes, yeah, so we'll just get 20,000 of them across. How did they get in the country? Well, they broke in illegally. So utterly unvetted. You don't know. I mean, imagine being like, okay, we'll just check the ones for criminal records. Oh, yeah, what's the record keeping in Haiti like? Oh,
they're very studious.
Yeah, exactly.
They keep very thorough records.
The question of what are you doing first night in your new city? I'm having a neighbor for dinner.
I'm having a barbecue to celebrate.
Yeah.
Lancer and Joy says, so something bad is happening in Haiti because of its people. Let's get these people here. Profit? Question mark. And the thing as well, like, Haiti really is founded in anti-white racism as well, right? Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, like, they killed all of the white people because they were white, and then they killed all the mixed race people because they were half white. So, right, okay, that's a really hard version of racism there. And so
hard line.
Yeah, it's very hard line.
How's that self-governance going for him?
Yeah, it's turned out great.
Like Rhodesia in South Africa as well.
It's just turning out brilliantly. Boulos brings many of those people who are born and raised in a country whose national founding myth is killing white people and bring them over to a really white town in rural America.
One has to wonder about...
Sounds what- like... Evil Mr. Beast skit.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What would actually motivate them, considering they've been, you know, brought up in a culture that supposedly hates white people for enslaving and oppressing them? Let's go to America, because those people treated us well the last time, didn't they?
Yeah, there's no question about... I'm not going to carry on. Right. Charlie says, regarding Enoch Burke, it needs to be noted that he was never jailed for failing to use a student's preferred pronoun, but for violating a court order to stay away from the school for the duration of the court case. He is not the martyr we want him to be.
So, I never said he's a martyr, and I'm following the case. I think the thing he is trying to raise, and he says this on almost every video, is a case of civil disobedience.
Right.
It's just, he was telling the police officers, you know, you don't have a duty to obey bad orders. Now, obviously, this is a bit idealistic. This is a bit more, you know, palatable to the left.
Yeah.
But what essentially he tries to point out is that just because following orders isn't always an excuse.
No, the reason, it's not, actually.
And the reason, really. Yeah, and the reason why he is being ordered to stay away from the school by the police is because he didn't conform with transgender right. ideology. And I think that this is a Catholic school. I may be mistaken.
It's Ireland, so it wouldn't
in any such cases, yeah.
Justin says, it's not just the Irish that are doing this. I do IT in a group of schools and recently found their lesson materials for British values. It included things like food around the world, music around the world, attending Hebrew classes at the Progressive Jewish Synagogue every Sunday.
Yep, I did all of those things when I was growing up
yeah.
as an English person, didn't I? Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Not a lot of connection to my life. X, Y, and Z says, I'll let the Paddies correct me, but didn't the tradition of Irish dance with arms at the sides develop as a way of preserving Irish dance culture as not to draw attention to themselves during English rule? I have no idea. You know, like all these sort of like local folk dances have got weird traditions behind them. It's fine. Yeah.
They're important, though.
No, I'm not saying they're not important. I'm saying, you know, like trying to identify a reason that it happened in the deep past. Like,
I think it's interesting, but it's not the central part of it. It's become something different to its original intent, hasn't it? And I think that part of the reason that it's so important to keep these folk traditions alive is that it's something that binds your community together, and I think that that has been abandoned. And it's a shame because there's some really great folk music out there that I really like that hardly anyone knows of.
Okay, I don't know of it, so I don't know if it's good. I'm not generally a sort of folk music enjoyer, to be honest. What about you, Stelios?
Depends on the music. Yeah.
What about Greek folk music?
Yeah, I have some Gestalt switches. Generally speaking, don't listen to it. But if there are some triggers in the environment, I can go just, you know.
Do the Greeks have like weird dances?
Yeah, many.
Yeah, lots of weird dances.
Tens of them, yeah, maybe.
Like weird trousers.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
We also have some war dances.
That's cool.
Which is cool. You would like them.
But like I've seen lots of the sort of like, you know, 18th century, 19th century sort of Greek like dances and stuff like that. It's like weird trousers. Like, I don't know why the trousers stick.
The war.
Yeah, I guess so.
Stuff. Yeah.
What I would like to see is more carnixes.
I mean, yeah, why not?
I feel like we need to bring them back. You know,
I love their sound.
They're just really—they're like bagpipes, but more intimidating.
Yeah, there's a video on YouTube that you can find of the carnix being blown, and it is a creepy sound.
Imagine like hundreds of them. There's no way an invading army would think, okay, maybe, you know, this is a good idea. We should attack.
To be fair, the Romans did absolutely smash the Celts.
It's only because...
So did the Anglo-Saxons.
Well, maybe because it was Boudicca, you know, the female general.
Maybe they forgot the carinxes that day.
No, they definitely had
the carinxes. Well, didn't Caesar leave with his tail between his legs the first time he came across, right?
No.
Well, he left.
Yeah, he left because he had things to do on the continent, because there was a rebellion in the Belgate.
And he didn't have a way of dealing with the chariot thing, the tactic that they were using, where they would basically throw some projectiles and then just leave and then come back and sort of this harassment.
Yeah, but it wasn't doing anything to the Romans. Like he turned up with like 20,000 legionaries. They weren't going to stop that.
It's chipping away.
No, it was doing very little. And Caesar left because of a rebellion in Gaul. And his trip over was just to say, I did it, you know. And then when Claudius's legions came back, it was just over. They
cheated. It wasn't fair.
Yeah, it wasn't fair. That's right.
We should have a round table also for Caesar.
Oh, yeah, we can do. But
he's a bad guy.
You are right. If you're playing Rome Total War, right? I mean, it's not fair. You've got
Romans are OP, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not so. You've got a giant empire with like the best technology in the world. Then you've got a bunch of tent dwelling
with Caryngs, but they have Caryngs.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. It's funny how the Irish government unironically wants its population to be black and tanned. Yeah, there is a kind of resentment in the like Western liberal elites, the white Western liberal elites. There's annoyed. That their own populations are white. Like, they genuinely honestly, disappointed.
I think they don't care. It's just they find that characteristic to use it as a matter of political tactics, and they just...
No, I think they're genuinely, on an emotional level, embarrassed about it. And this is what Orwell's talking about, where they're saying that, like, they'd rather steal from the church poor box than be caught singing the national anthem. Yeah. They really mean it.
Next meeting in Davos, they will have fake tanning salons and stuff.
Well, it's not that they themselves are white. That's not what they're worried about. Yeah. It's that you are white. They want to be governing over browns, is how they view the world. Because browns are the only like authentic cultural people. Their own cultures, they genuinely...
I think they just make for a more compliant client class in the mind of the globalist than Europeans, perhaps.
Maybe. On that note, I'm afraid we're out of time. So go sign up to the website, support us, help keep the lights on, because of course we're demonetized everywhere. And we will be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Have a great evening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.